Welcome to the Devin Nunes Podcast, breaking through the political noise, separating fact from fiction. Stay up to date by following Devin on Rumble.com to watch the podcast or downloading wherever you listen to podcasts. From the San Joaquin Valley, the breadbasket of the solar system, here's your host, Devin Nunes.
Welcome back to the Devin Nunes Podcast. It has been a while since we've been able to actually interview someone. Michael Anton has been in the banking industry, consulting. He was on the Trump National Security Council. Now he is a professor at Hillsdale College. He works out of Washington, D.C., and also a fellow Californian. His family lives in California. He's wrote extensively about California in his new and great book that I've been reading. But Mike, there's been so much that's going on that, you know, you're essentially a classicist historian. You've studied, you know, a lot of the characters throughout history, and you bring an interesting perspective in both your writing and the interviews that I've watched. And so I really appreciate you being on. The first topic that I want to cover is the censorship of big tech. Now, I saw it coming. I wrote about it because I knew that I had been shadow banned. But I will tell you, the worst thing that I've seen in my political lifetime is to watch these big tech oligarchs completely obliterate a company, a probably a billion-dollar company named Parler, off the planet. And I now have, I have 3 million followers plus on Parler. I can't get onto Parler. I don't really use Facebook or Twitter anymore because it's just kind of a futile exercise. Were you surprised that these big tech companies working with the Democrats were willing to go to blast Parler off the planet?
No, I wasn't. I saw it coming. Now, part of that is I tend to believe the worst. So every once in a while, the worst happens, and then I can say, hey, I was right. But, you know, sometimes I have things that I believe don't happen. So I don't want to take any special credit for it. It seemed to me, though, that for a long time, what big tech and others were, they were looking for just exactly the right excuse. I think they've wanted to do this forever. I think if Zuckerberg could have turned off Donald Trump in, you know, August of 2016 and thought that he could get away with it without, not yet Zuckerberg, but also Dorsey and Twitter, Facebook, thought that they could get away with it without a backlash, they would have done it. And I think that they thought, okay, January 6th is what we've been waiting for. January 6th is now the excuse or explanation that we need. In that sense, you know, as much as the crocodile tears is they're crying about, it was a godsend to them because it allowed them to do a bunch of stuff that they'd wanted to do for a long time and had been reluctant to do. And they said, well, this gives it to us. And now we won't face the backlash because we will have, you know, a sufficient amount of public opinion will say this is totally justified.
When you look at this in a weird way, they're actually helping Donald Trump, who I think, you know, you and I would probably agree, most people would agree that, you know, he didn't run a perfect exit strategy here. I think there were plenty of problems with the elections. Now, I don't go crazy and blame him for the riots and the mobs at the Capitol. I think he had every right and everybody has the right for free assembly and to hold rallies. And I think the left, for the most part, in the media were very frustrated with these huge rallies that were being held all over the United States. And when you look at it, tens of thousands of people showing up that, quite frankly, they can't do themselves. The left can't turn out people like that. What they were really good at turning out were rioting and violence all over America, including here in California, for the last year, even longer. And so I never saw any rioting or anything that went on all of Trump's rallies until, of course, this last one. But with that said, with the weird thing is by, I think a lot of Americans were upset the way that the president went out. I don't think they liked the fact that he held a rally. And of course, it's ridiculous to blame him for the people that broke into the Capitol, like some of my colleagues are doing. But in a weird way, they're actually, I think, helping the president because they're making him a martyr. And by nuking him off of social media, you know, he can't talk. And so, which is might be even helping him even more because they can't even write about him because nobody even knows where the hell he's at now.
You know, I saw a news clip this morning that they're moving the impeachment article, which if you read the Constitution says the only penalty that you can, there's only two penalties you could suffer. One is to be removed from office. Well, that's obviously irrelevant. The other, I suppose they could bar him. They could hold this trial so as to bar him from ever holding office again, but they'd still have to get they still have to get 67 votes in the Senate to convict him. Is that possible now? I don't know, but it does show a kind of weird obsessiveness. I mean, he's not the president anymore. He's gone, right? And yet this is the top item on the agenda. If I were Joe Biden, I know I'd be thinking, can't you guys just let this go? I've actually got things that I want to do as president. I want to just disagree a little bit with something you said, that I think actually the left has proved in the past, it's pretty good at turning out people. If you think about the 2016 or the 2017 inaugural protests or that women's march, they turned out a lot of people. If you go back to some of the huge protests against the Iraq war, traditionally the right hasn't been very good at this, but all of a sudden was getting good at it for the first. And I think that scared a lot of people in the.
Yeah, that's a good point. I forgot about that. I was actually there that day, the day after Donald Trump was sworn in.
Yeah.
And you had hundreds of thousands of people that showed up. Now, it's also easier to do because when you take the greater DC area that, I don't know, what does it have? 6-7 million people, of which you have in excess of 2/3 of them are left wing.
Yeah.
You have a pretty much built in crowd there. I'm not sure how many of those people actually came from outside of a 50-mile radius of Washington, D.C. But you are right. They have the money and they do turn.
And they have an advantage. They have a built-in. So, and this is not something the Republicans, the right, has been traditionally very good at. And I don't know, the estimates I saw for, there were several rallies in Washington after the election, but and some of them were getting from estimates as many as 250,000 people, which is just not what one expects from the right, and suggestive of something, that there's some kind of stirring. You know, obviously we know the Trump's base is very loyal to him. But I think there's also a real deep frustration going back 30, 40, 50 years of a big portion of the population that just feels neglected and ill-served. To get it back to California for a second, California is a big state, right? And yes, it's a super blue state, but boy, huge parts of it are also very, very, very red. And those are the parts that get neglected, ignored, and even despised by the coasts. And that kind of energy, you know, it can simmer and seethe for a while, but eventually it's going to burst forth in some way. And big demonstrations like this, I think, are a sign of that.
And we saw the largest demonstrations in California in my lifetime with these huge Trump parades that we saw, you know, all over California, even places in the middle of Los Angeles, huge Trump parades that occurred all over the state and all over the country. So you're exactly right. So I just want to kind of bring it back and finish up just kind of the final. I started with the parlor being obliterated from the map.
Yeah.
What are your concerns moving forward? I'm assuming that parlor is going to get up and going, and the conservatives or anybody who's not affiliated with the left, we're going to have to build an entire ecosystem, I guess, in order to have even host our own website.
Right. I mean, it's not enough to build, the old line from the snarky left and the libertarians was, well, these are private companies, build your own platform. So a guy goes and he builds his own platform, right? Yeah. And then, well, the hosting companies and the banks and all of these other things that you need to do business, they won't do business with you. So do we have to build, apparently, according to this logic, it's not just build your own platform, it's build your own entire parallel economy and infrastructure, because anything affiliated with the mainstream, the ruling class, the establishment, and the Democratic Party will not let you use their services if they disagree with you. That's where we're headed. And we took a giant leap in that direction the week after January 6th.
Right, because it wasn't just that Apple eliminated from the App Store.
Yeah.
It was the texting company. When you sign up, it was people, it was, you know, the different banking companies.
Right.
So the good thing is that I think it is going to, it's horrible. It's awful what's happening, but you're exactly right though. Conservatives are going to have to invest in their own infrastructure. It's horrible for the United States. It's horrible for a Democratic Republic. It's horrible to have this situation with our neighbors, but we are where we are. And you and I have seen it watching what's happened here in California. So what do you think, just kind of looking forward, Parler gets back up and going, and
I hope so.
Do you see this as a trend?
Yeah, I do see it as a trend. I think they're going to do this more and more and more. They feel morally justified. More to the point, you know, a lot of these companies, I mean, there's many things happening, but one of the things that's happening is a lot of these companies have a huge workforce of people in their 20s who are very, very left-wing and hypersensitive and think that there's only one morality and it's theirs. We think of the tech guys, these billionaires in their 40s, 50s, or however old they are, that, well, if you're the CEO and you got all this money, you're in charge, right? But they're actually terrified of their young woke workforce. And they bend in that direction. And so that's what's going to drive this, is people who work in these companies are going to say, it's evil to do business with X or Y or Z. And even if their bosses think, you know, this is going a little too far, they'll say, I'm actually more afraid of you than I am afraid of my own board or shareholders or public opinion. So yeah, I'll go along with it.
Yeah, and I am hearing that there are a few people, in software engineers and that sort, that are actually very frustrated, very scared, and are moving, trying to move to places like Parler and Rumble, mm-hmm. Because they're worried about the future working for these big tech companies. So, Michael Anton, this is part one, where I just wanted to go over Parler. We're going to come back in a couple days, and we'll have part two, where we're going to talk about the future of Donald Trump. Michael Anton, author of The Stakes, a great book. Thanks for being on the show, and we'll catch you in a couple of days. It's Devin Nunes.
Stay up to date by following Devin Nunes on Rumble.com to watch the podcast or download wherever you listen to podcasts.
Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know.
The darkness around us leaves no easy road.
We started wondering if every road dead ends our dreams.
Wind whips the dust up and rain's pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
We started wondering if we even matter at all. We'll take that hard road to happier days. 'Cause we kept our American faith.
Not our first trial by fire like this.
It's nothing hard work and family can't fix.
We've got the power to save it all here in our hands. We'll take that hard road to happier days. 'Cause we kept our American faith.
We're already half the way there.
We'll take that hard road to happier days. 'Cause we've kept our American faith.
Paid for by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.